be God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your continuation to be with us here today. Father God, touch each one, Lord, as I know you have, as I know you will. Broken and spilled out. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That kind of continued on this path of today, being broken and spilled out for him. For all that he has done for us, remember, for believers to be that way, to be broken and spilled out, surrendering one's self-ego, your plans, your resources, and you go to say, God, it's your will that I want to follow. So as we continue to pick up where I left off, I want to go and we're looking at how we are to serve him, how we are to be broken. He's got to break us to be allowing him to come in to fill us with himself. And as we are filled with him, we are going to let that flow out to others around us. One area that I want to look at back in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. It's going to speak to that of Moses, the mighty work that he was doing for that of God. He knew in himself he couldn't do it. He hadn't the ability to do it, but he was a vessel. He was someone that God went to, and God saw that he could use him, and Moses was willing. He was willing to be used. He was willing to say, here I am. Use me. Today, for us, you may not be leading a lot of people out of bondage, but you might be leading one person out of bondage through salvation as you share what God wants you to do in spreading the gospel. We don't know. But you might say, well, I don't know this, or I can't speak so eloquently. I can't put all these things together to make it sound like some of these other ministers and pastors and evangelists that it just flows off of their lips. And God would say, I'm not looking for people that can flow things off of their lips. I'm looking for people that have the heart to serve me, a heart to be broken for me, a willing to be spilled out. And so let's look at that in Exodus 4:10. Then Moses says to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. Before I knew you or after, I'm the same guy. But you have spoken to your servant, but I am what? Slow of speech. I'm slow of tongue. Could be like that of, I can't talk well. Let's see, heavy or a dull of tongue, cannot talk very well. I'm slow of tongue. Moses is looking at his ability to really share and verbalize things, and he says, I can't do it. And so the Lord says to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Verse 12, now therefore go. And I will be your mouth, and I will teach you what you shall say. But he said, O Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Now the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he says, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you will speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. So despite Moses' flaws, his stutter, his inability to speak well, God used him to lead his people out of slavery. Now we can talk to God and we can bring up our flaws and we can bring up our inabilities. Don't you think God already knows that? He does. And it's like, well, why are you choosing me? But he's looking for people with a willingness. He's looking for people that he can speak into and that they're willing to say, I don't get it, Lord, but you're God. And so he continued to use Moses in a miraculous way, and we know the story there. What about, you know, we had talked a little bit in some of this we started off with, but we can revisit it a little bit on 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. And then verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him, to Elijah, and saying, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. And so he rose, Elijah rose, and he went there. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called out to her and said, please bring me a little water and a cup that I may drink. Verse 11, and as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, hey, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she says, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. See, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son. And her anticipation of things and what she saw it leading up to, so that we can eat it and then die. Because that's all we got left. There ain't no more. And now you're asking me to fix you something. And Elijah says to her, do not fear, go out and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went and did accordingly to that of the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. She was looking at the natural things that she had. This man of God was saying, go do this. But she is saying, like Moses, I can't speak well. I can't do this. Not her. She's saying, I don't have enough to make for you and my son and myself. I just have enough barely for us. But she was willing. She listened and she obeyed. So this widow, with only a handful of flour and this little bit of oil, the small, the broken elements that she had left were used by God to provide for herself and the prophet Elijah during a time of a famine. So when God speaks to us to do things, it may not be at the opportune time to where you're at in your life. It could be at a time to when you're saying, wait, and I'll come back and I will do it with you after a little bit, Lord. But you're not going to be able to bargain with him. You're not going to be able to talk those things out to where he's going to believe or going to see your side of the persuasion. He will talk to you. He will share with you. He will speak to you. I'm going to say it in a very loving, a very kind way, but he will get your attention. Do you believe that? Because that's what he did, and I've said before, but just touching about it quickly, when I said, wait, Lord, until I work a little bit longer in my job, and then I will come and serve you. And he says, so you want to bring me your leftovers. When I heard my Lord say that to me, my leftovers, I don't want to give anything left over to God. I want to give him the first fruit of whatever I've got within me and my ability, which ain't much. I would be like that of Moses. I'm not able to speak very well, Lord. I don't know if I can bring your message to the masses. I. But once he sees your willingness, remember what I had said? For a believer to be broken and spilled out means to surrender your ego, to surrender your plan, to surrender your resources. And then you say, okay, Lord, here I am. Use me. In my natural, and any one of our natural thoughts would be, I don't see this going very far. You know, I see this being a short-lived career, if that's what you want to call it. I don't see this building a whole lot of time. But here I look back, and that was back in 1999-ish, 2000. Now we're at 2025. And I'm chugging along. I don't understand it, but God does. But I just continue to say, Lord, here am I. Keep using me as much as you want. How long? What's going to happen? When are we going to do this? When are we throwing in the towel? I haven't a clue, guys. We could be here for another 25 years. If we are, we are. And if we are, he'll give us the ability to sustain. He sustains the things that he wants to do. We've said it before. Just be broken. Be spilled out. Be willing to surrender. And I would tell people, my goodness, if I talk with my pastor friends on a Wednesday, I mean, we're second to the smallest church probably in that group, if not, well, out of three churches now, I think. Our numbers all hit about the same. Hey, we had a blowout. We had 16 people. Whoa, we had 20. Oh, we had 12. Oh, we had this. Oh, we had an 8. Other pastors go, well, we had a pretty good Sunday. We had 75. Oh, this one said, oh, we had 150. Oh, you know, we're sitting there like us. It's like, oh, oh, oh. But we don't do that because it's all God. But it's the things that we look at, how God marvelously moves and how he sustains. The thing that God wants us to be satisfied in him. Be complete in him. Not in what you think, but just be happy and satisfied and be of joy of serving him. And say, I don't understand it, Lord, but glory to God, we're going to go on and move on. You know, we had the roof situation come up and spent like $7,500 to get some repairs done up there. And we had it in our building fund and our building maintenance thing that we keep building up. But out of the blue, somebody outside the church sends us a check for $5,000. Wow, honey, I was ready. You know, we were taking $7,500 out of our large building donation type things, and we were going to get it done. We had the finances. So here again, we took that step. Said, okay, it's yours, God. So out of a $7,500 note, we just had to use $2,500 of the reserve that God has blessed us with. Because somebody else said, here's $5,000 for that. Church in town got a roof put on. They thought they were going to have to pay for it. And the contractor said, you know, I think we're going to bless you. You don't have to pay for it. See, God is out there doing and moving in these areas because you just need to be faithful. You need to be just, you pour yourself out into his kingdom. You pour yourself into doing what he wants you to do, and he will take care of the rest. Don't you believe it? It's an amazing thing that God does. I don't understand it, but I don't want to understand it. But I do understand it, that God is God. And that God uses the miraculous and to confound the wise. And so I don't have to put things together and try to hocus pocus and manipulate all this stuff. I just go before him and I say, it's yours, God. You'll figure it out. And you'll keep it going. Hallelujah. I'm having so much fun. It's like people say, well, when are you going to retire? I go, I don't know. Really, when you serve God, you're never really retiring. I mean, even in retirement time, you're going to be speaking or giving God's word out or being an example, right? There's many of you that do that, and you know, in your places where you live, people that you run across, you're a little evangelist out there where you're at. So we never retire and step back from serving God. It just changes a little bit, maybe. But I don't know where we're going to go. We'll just keep going. I mean, when God has got the wheel, you just go along for the ride. And God will take you on a wonderful journey. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So, as we approach God through brokenness, you don't need to hide. Don't fix your brokenness. You know, it's like, well, let me fix and get ready, and then I'll come and do this and serve you and do all these things for you, God. Come just as you are. Amen? Just come to him. You don't need to hide or fix the brokenness that you have before approaching God. He is close to the brokenhearted. We had touched upon that in 51:17, I think, in Psalms. And I had this scripture down that I didn't go to, and I wondered why, but it's because, oh, we'll go to it now. I had a note in my Bible back then, and I go, why didn't I go there? But anyway, we'll go there now. Psalms 34, 18. And this comes off of, if you look at back in Psalms 51, 17, it says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart." That's in Psalms 51, 17. Go back to that of Psalms 34, 18. 34, 18 says, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and have such as have a contrite spirit." A contrite heart or a spirit is when a person's inner man or will has been broken so that they are no longer running after the things that they want, but surrender to the things that God wants. A broken heart or will says that I no longer do this my way or on my terms. I will remember and I will surrender to your way, God. The biblical definition I had given out about contrite, it signifies a state of being crushed or broken by guilt, leading to a humble dependence on God's mercy and a readiness to repent and change. When this takes place in a person, God promises to draw near and to revive that person. How many here have been revived by that of God? You break, you get broken, you go through things, and out of the ashes you rise, amen? And God lifts you up and sets you high and says, "Here we go. Now I'm using you for a greater purpose, for something more grand." God bless you. God will do these things. You know, you just serve Him. He puts you out in those areas. Many, many years back now, it seems, how time flies. I went to I usually don't go to places where they have people coming and praying over people and all that, but I did, and this person called me up, and I didn't lift my hand. I didn't want to be prayed. They just said, came back to where I was at, and they just said that the Harvester's Church is going to be like a bridge in the area. I don't know if that's ever fulfilled itself, that there would be things that we would orchestrate and be a help in other ministries to direct and to do whatever these things are. It sounded very good. It sounded very godlike. It sounded like, oh, God, it looks like you're going to get a lot of glory in this thing because I ain't capable of doing that, you know. So where that's at and where we're at on that path, I have no idea. But I do have it saved, and I think I wrote it down, and I've saved it, what she had shared. Never met her and her husband before in my life. They're out of Missouri. And just what Harvester's Church and what we were about, and it was a blessing to hear that. But it's only at God's time. But for God to accomplish that, we got to keep going. For God to accomplish the fulfillment that He has for your particular life, guess what? You've got to stay in the fight. You don't want to give up. Because it could be like one or two more steps. You just got to what the grandiose plan is that God has for you. But two or three steps back, the devil knew that. So the devil really put some things upon you or maybe even said, "Oh, you know, it's glorious. Why don't you just set back now and retire?" And it's like, I ain't going to retire. You're going to keep going and keep pushing for the things of God. I've said this at times where we pray and the answer's not there, and we pray and the answer's not there, and then sometimes we go, I'm not even going to pray for that anymore. You might have prayed one more prayer and it was going to happen. You came that close to the fulfillment of what God had for you, but you on your strength, you on your thoughts, you on what you thought, who you were, you said, well, it's doing no good. I'm just going to stop praying it. It must have just been a pipe dream I had. I just must have, you know, the old adage, I must have just had a pizza or something last night, and that's just stomach pains or something gnawing at me. No, you've got to stay in the fight for God to fulfill the totality of the plan that He has for you. And to stay in that fight, you've got to be broken and spilled out and broken and spilled out. You've got to keep coming to Him and pouring yourself out to say, here I am. Here am I, Lord. Use me in whatever way that you want. Now, when you say that, you better be ready to go along for the ride. But you better say that because God is only going to use you when you say, it's your way and not my way. And use me, Lord, in totality of what you see, Tim Hartley, and my life on this earth, and what I am to be, or what I can do for the kingdom of God, here I am. You all have to be that way in our lives. We have got to be that. We have got to be broken, and we've got to separate ourselves from our plans, and we've got to say it's your plan. So we looked at that. You need, he is close to the brokenhearted, Psalms 34:18, and he welcomes you when you're weary, when you are in a burdened state. How many get burdened down? We get burdened down with life. We get burdened down with so much stuff that we wonder sometimes, how can I serve you, God? How do I have the time? Where do I have the time? When do I have the time? Well, if you surrender it to God, he will show you the time. And he will say, this, this, this. Give up that. Do this different. Allow this to happen. You've got the time. Everybody's got 24 hours in the day. We all have 7 days in the week. I know there's times I would think, Lord, if I just had one more day, I could get more things accomplished for you, and you know what you would feel in your spirit. I doubt that, because you have 8 days, you would have 8 days of things to do. It's still no time for God. Well, God, if you would just give me 15 hours, you know, or, you know, 30 hours in a day instead of 24. No, he already knows no matter what he gives you more, you will find something in this world to use and to take up his time. We've got to get off of my schedule and get on whose? His schedule. We've got to get to that point to say, Lord, I'll do what I'm doing, but I've got to be willing to hear that gentle tug, that still small voice. Matter, I said this one time, where I want my relationship with God so close that I can just look at his face, and if he turns his eyes and just moves his eyes that way, and I'm looking at him, I'm going to say, that's the way you want me to go, God? Okay, I'm going. I want to look at his face. Oh, look up on his face and just tell by his facial gestures of what he's wanting. That's closeness with my God. But a lot of times he's going to speak to you and he's going to share with you when you're in those times of prayer, reading the word, sitting alone. Get away. Turn everything off. But to be still, be quiet, listen. I mean, if you can be that quiet to God, you will hear and you will pick up where he's wanting you to go, what he's wanting you to do. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Acknowledge your limitations to God. And acknowledge that, God, I need to depend upon you. I need your strength, God. Like that of Paul that learned when he is weak. Amen? So back in 2 Corinthians 12:10, it says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So we're going to, you know, we don't want infirmities. I don't want to deal with weaknesses and persecutions. And I don't want all that. But it says Paul is sharing. He's given us some insight into this, guys. And if you're going through times of infirmity, needs, weaknesses of times, reproaches, persecutions, distress, but you're doing it for what? Now, this is Christ's sake. For Christ's sake, I'm going through these things. For when I am then weak, I am strong. Because it is when we are through those weakness times in our own that we find God's strength within us. As God's strength swells up, wells up within us, that he can show himself. We just touched upon in Sunday school about the plagues and all that in Exodus. And God hardened Pharaoh's heart on purpose. And he wanted the children of Israel to see how he could outdo the gods that the sorcerers and the magicians had as well. God wanted to show that he had power over the natural as well, animals and frogs and... But when they saw the power of God in those things, hopefully it was building that within them to say that, my God, he is powerful. My God can do the miraculous. My God is stronger than anything upon this earth that would come against me. And that's who I want to serve. So as we look at these things, we are just acknowledging that through Christ, When I am weak, I see his strength within me. And sometimes we have to get to that point where we're weak so that God says, now, let me work in your life. Because if we're strong in ourselves, why do we need God? If you've got everything under the sun, why do you need God? Now, the important thing to do with that is this, that when you do have that, be sure you thank God. When all the things are going good, how many here thank God for the good? Or do you just cry out to God when things are bad? I want to be a child of His that when I see the simplest of good things that I remember to say, thank you, God. Thank you for provision. Thank you for giving. Thank you for providing. Thank you for the finance. Thank you for whatever the thing is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have faith that God can redeem any broken relationship, any circumstance that you might have, no matter what season of life that you're in. And I'm looking at some here that, you know, we're probably looking at the mid to latter fall time of our lives, you know. That's what's so nice about the four seasons of what we go through. Now, we're going into fall and winter, but I don't know, for some reason I pray that God, you know, in her, she's got spring leafing out in her spirit. You know, God does those things. You know, we might look around, but in the time of when things are going dormant, that's when the things are really coming alive within. That's when the nutrients within the trees and the shrubs or whatever the case might be, they're really stimulating and doing these things to sustain that bush or that tree, because when spring comes, it's going to get taller and bigger and more leaves or whatever the case is. It's going to shine and it's going to be vibrant. So in our walk with God, we think we're going through seasons and, oh, it's a downtime. It's, I don't know, there are downtimes, but it's those downtimes that God is doing the most sometimes in our life to get us ready for the next uptime. We got to be ready to go. Remember, we got to be ready to take on whatever it is that He's got planned for us to do in the coming days, weeks, months, years of your life. He will even use your pain to shape you into that vessel of His glory. So we have to look at these things. And I don't know, we prayed even today for the infirmities in our body. Lord, heal and strengthen and be with us. Lord God, hallelujah. You know, but I know as we get older, we're not as fast and we rebound slower and all these things. But it's just like there's times you can just stand here and all of a sudden I go, man, I just pulled my shoulder and I was just standing here. I don't even know what I did. It was just like, I'm scared, you know, if I burp, what's going to happen next in my body, you know? It's like, oh my gosh. It's like these things are breaking apart as I go. But as we go through these things, you know, we pray for the healing and we pray for the strength and we pray for renewing. And I do believe my God can restore my body to the point of renewing it and revitalizing it to where it was like it was younger. God can do it. Will He do it? I don't know. Can He do it? He can. But it's my goodness, Lord, you go out and say, well, Lord, I want to serve You and I want to show glory to You. And to do that, Lord, I just pray You give me a strong body to do it. But, you know, sometimes the person that has a weakness in their body of an infirmity that's powerful for the things of God, they will get the attention of the people a whole lot easier than you that are healthy, strong, and have all four of your limbs. You can stand before them and say, I want to give the glory to God in my life, and He's been so powerful. And they're looking at you going, well, I don't see anything really bad about you. Come over to this side, and some poor guy is, you know, no legs, no arm, whatever the case might be. And they're giving the glory to God, and they're giving a message that is like, oh my gosh, look at that. I want what that person has. They've got a faith. They've got a connection to God that I don't. And if they can have it, I want it, because God says, I'm no respecter of persons. I will do the same for you. We've just got to be willing to step into what God wants to do. Break in yourself. Pour yourself out. When we share our story, when you open about your past struggles and how God has restored you, you become a powerful source of encouragement and hope for the others that are doing the same thing, facing the similar situations that you had. They're going to listen to you when you share your testimony of how God helped you and brought you out of that. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind, and Paul is sharing in this, oh boy, here we go. Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Paul here is explaining that about being emptied and having that humility that Jesus had. This is talking how Jesus poured himself out, how he poured himself out for those of us, for us here today. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. He humbles himself by becoming obedient to that of the point of death, and on that of the cross. Many times he, or not many, but he had said, Lord, God, if you can take this cup from me, do it. Please, do it. But not my will, your will be done. He willingly broke himself. He willingly went to the cross, knowing what he was going to endure. He didn't have a painkiller. He wasn't numb to the whole situation. He had pain. He hurt. He yelled out, my God, my God. That shows a person that has pain. When people have pain, don't they yell out and holler out? I can't deal with this, it hurts. Now, when he did that, Jesus, he didn't give up his deity, but he set aside his divine rights and glory to become like that of a human servant, enduring the ultimate humility and obedience. These are those examples of what he did, that of Jesus. As I look at this here, and we'll wrap this up here, areas of how Jesus poured out. Jesus speaks of pouring himself out, as we read in Philippians 2, 5 through 8. It describes how he, despite being in the form of God, he emptied himself, broken and spilled out, by becoming a man, humbling himself to the point of death on the cross. This is the most direct reference to Jesus being emptying of himself. The passage here explains he did this by taking on the form of a slave, that of a human, humbling himself to that of the cross. We read in Matthew 26:28, during the Last Supper, Jesus says, this is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many. Matthew 26:28. This refers to the sacrifice of his life for the redemption of humanity. And that was doing what? Establishing that new covenant, the new blood covenant. Matthew 26:12, Jesus confirms that a woman who anoints him with an expensive ointment is being prepared for burial by pouring it on his body. Here again, this is the act of pouring out his life in preparation for death and sacrifice. We look at this, it's the ultimate act of humility and love. And that's what it was all about. The pouring out of the blood is the theme that we have for that sacrifice. Establishes that new covenant, which offers forgiveness of sins for those who believe. And that same blood poured out has the power of cleansing us of sins of today. We still can be cleansed of the sins because of the mighty act that Jesus did upon the cross. And it also, as we close here with obedience, this self-emptying was an act of complete obedience to the will of God the Father and carried out through that of the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we go through our times here upon our days in the pilgrimage here upon this earth, and God's got us where we're at, I would ask you to continue to keep yourself thought of and focused on the brokenness and being spilled out. We have to do that to serve God. To serve God, you got to give up something. You got to sometimes give up a lot. To be used by him, you got to change. You got to surrender. You got to give up and say, it's all yours, God. Here I am. Heavenly Father, as I thank you for your word today, And throughout these last few weeks, Lord, of reading about being broken and poured out, spilled out, Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that you did that for us. We read it in Scripture. We see it happening. And Lord, today, for us here today and every day, Lord, you're looking for us to be broken and to spill ourselves, to say, here am I, Lord, use me, take me. Lord, my plans, my direction, the things that I want to accomplish, they don't mirror anything to what you would have for this life of mine. And I surrender to you, Lord. And every day we need to surrender to you, Lord, to say, here am I. What am I to do for you today, Lord? Who am I to share, and how can I share with the love of your story and the love, Lord, that you have to those around me? And so we just need to listen and pay attention, because the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us, and he will put us into areas that we will have the opportunity to break and to pour the wonderful things that you've done for us, Lord God. So thank you, Lord. I pray right now that you will touch each and every one right here in a very unique way as we serve you in these days ahead. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.